Luke 24, starting at verse 13, and you can find it on the Pew Bibles on page 1661. And while you find it, it might be helpful if you are making a nomination for the church leadership team this morning, if you let me have them so that we can collate them together. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Good morning. Am I all good? Somebody said, "Do you get nervous before you speak?" It's always quite scary going into a new church, isn't it? Or just going into church, full stop. But good morning. My name is Karen, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about me before I come and speak to us about this passage. So I live about 30 minutes away. I live in Widrington Station, and it is just north of Morpeth. It's not that far from Alnwick, but I've been part of Alnwick Baptist Church family for around 20 years. That is where I go to worship. And they have sent me and called me to be a community minister, a pioneer minister in Widrington Station, where I've lived for over 20 years with my husband Matt and my dog Holly. My role in Widrington, which officially started in 2024, is one that's developing as a pioneer. We just wing it and see how it goes. But it's quite exciting, and it's an exciting way of doing ministry for me. and involved in lots of things that are already going on in Widrington, but always trying to have a listening ear to see how I can support those within our community, especially with all that goes on in village life. I facilitate and support a monthly supper club, bringing ladies together who perhaps wouldn't ordinarily go to other things within the community. I also run a prayer breakfast and just try and be involved in other ecumenical projects as well that are going on in the village. And my most recent role, the one that I think I'm most proud of, I've just been given the title of official complaints person. So that just kind of gives you a flavour of what goes on within our community. So you could pray for me for that. But I'll be happy to chat with you guys afterwards if you have any questions or anything that you want to ask me on that role. I'm also a healthcare chaplain with Northumbria Trust. I'm predominantly based at Cramlington Hospital, but we cover Rake Lane, Wansbeck, Blythe, Hexham, Berwick and Alnwick. And I've been with the Trust in different capacities for about 3 years. And prior to that, I was working as a volunteer chaplain in the prison HMP Northumberland. So that's just a little bit about me. Thought it might be helpful for you to know the context of where I come from. Let me start with prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can come and gather together. Lord, we pray that you speak to each of us, not just for today, but as we journey together with you. Give us eyes, ears, and hearts which dare to hope, but in the hoping that we have time to see with eyes, ears, and hearts that walk with you, that are present with you and with one another. Lord, if there is anything that I say that is not of you, we ask that it fall away. And what you want to remain, remains to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think this story, the Road to Emmaus, is a beautiful story between two disciples and Jesus. And it is a journey of hope and of revelation. A journey where the disciples beginning by viewing things one way, only to end up with a completely different perspective and sense of hope at the end of their journey. The word hope has many meanings, and not just within our own vocabulary, but within scripture. And there are many examples in the Bible in which hope is spoken of. Hope may also mean to wait for a victory within conflict or situation. And this is what these disciples had hoped for. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Hope can mean to wait for, as in Isaiah 40, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Hope can mean to trust in, or that we have hope for with a particular expectation to be met or an anticipation of deliverance. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, there is a hope which is gone because of the desolation that they find themselves in. In the story of Esther, there is hope to overpower the enemies. Or Psalm 9:18 offers a different perspective of hope. Hope for those who are afflicted will not perish. So it's an encouragement for those that there will be hope for those who are poor. And in the book of Job, even though the book is a book all about suffering, the word hope is scattered throughout. It's either lamenting for a hope that had not come to fruition, or hope that God would still deliver Job from a desolate situation. And in the book of Romans, how hope is grown through challenging circumstances, how hope is something unseen. For in this hope we were saved, but the hope that is no hope at all who hopes for what they already have. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Hope. Different situations, different circumstances, and different meanings. And if we take a look at these two disciples on their journey, they do not know how this is going to end. And they're in a sense of sadness, grief, internal suffering, uncertainty of what life will mean for them now, because even what they had believed, what they had trusted for, what they had hoped for, has not happened, or at least not in the way that they expected it to. It's not what they envisaged, it's not what they imagined, and it stops them from seeing what is right in front of them. Does this feel familiar to anybody? We hope, and sometimes it doesn't materialize how we hope it will. And these disciples set off on their 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, coming from this scene of desolation, of heartbreak and hopelessness. These disciples probably will have witnessed the horrific murder of Jesus, the one that they had pinned all of their hopes on, the one that they thought was going to free them from Roman occupation and bring the Jewish people into power. The Messiah, their Messiah. And then their talk on their journey, what they do recognize is that Jesus was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all of the people. And that this long-awaited Messiah has been crucified. And through the murder of Jesus, all of their hopes have been erased. That is what they know, because that is what they have viewed and experienced of the story so far. They expected that the story would take a particular shape, a leader who would overrule the Romans, but that is not the way that the story unfolds. Or is it? It just isn't that straightforward. As we reflect upon this passage and start this journey with these disciples, we do so through a lens which looks through what the disciples knew from the past, what they had been taught, and what they knew through the Old Testament scriptures. Their knowledge and way of life thus far had informed their view and of what hope should look like and how it should therefore manifest. And this can be a challenge to all of us as we read scripture through that Old Testament lens while living in 2026. We don't have the same cultural understanding. When we hope, we do so looking at what we know now, what has been fulfilled through Jesus, but also what we've seen within our own lifetime, within our own lives, with our own eyes, with our own ears, the things that we've seen personally, nationally, and globally, the things that we see personally, nationally, and globally, and hear. The things that we've seen and experienced for ourselves helps us to have hope for what is to come. At the start of 2020, our hope as a church family, as Anick Baptist Church, we began with a theme of 2020 vision. Not particularly original, but we thought it was quite clever. 2020 vision, one for the road. And our 2020 vision was that we would seek to walk with one person, discipling, sharing fellowship, journeying together, one for the road. Now in 2026, we know what began to unfold in March 2020. But back in January 2020, we didn't know what was to come. And we had high expectations that this would be the year of all years. This would be the year where we would see our church family grow, where we would see more people choose to follow Jesus, where we would see more people be baptized, we would see our church family grow closer together to God and to one another. We had hope. We had expectations of what our journey in 2020 would look like. And they were not unrealistic expectations. They were based upon experiences, intentionality, and hope. Just as these disciples experienced, they were not unrealistic expectations. They based it on what they knew and what they had seen and of hope. For me personally, in 2020, I began to work for a Christian organization, which worked within the prisons in the Northeast and also worked with those who had been released from prison. And my main role changed quite quickly within the organisation because of the limitations and requirements that the pandemic brought about. And during that time, one of my reassignments was to deliver care packages to those who had been recently released. And while I was in Newcastle one day delivering a care package to one lady, we were chatting on the doorstep, and she looked like she was still wearing her night clothes. And she told me that she was really struggling, that she hadn't been out of bed for days because there was no need for her to be out of bed. And so I offered to go for a walk with her when you were allowed to go with one person. And to my surprise, she quickly accepted and stepped out of her house, shutting the door there and then, and it materialized that she was wearing a unicorn onesie. And we went for a walk around the streets of Biker. I was a little more nervous than she apparently was. And she told me about her life, the life that she had had selling her body to feed her drug addiction. In 2020, in January of 2020, that's not how I had envisaged my one for the road. What I had hoped for hadn't materialized in the way that I thought or hoped it would. Similar to the disciples, my vision, our church vision, our organization vision, was not one that materialized in that way. And the same is true for all of us across the world. Our hope, just as the disciples' hope, did not unfold how we'd expected it to. And there is nothing wrong with the hopes that we have. Similarly, there is nothing wrong with the hopes that the disciples have. Indeed, we're called to be people of hope. However, in our focus of how we think things should happen, we don't always see what is right before us in front of our eyes. These disciples do not recognize Jesus as they walk because they're not looking for him in that space. For them, their story, Jesus' story, is already ended, because it didn't end how they thought it would. And they're too busy mourning what they have lost, only to miss the very life that is in front of them and with them all along. Sometimes we are so busy looking for what we think we should be looking for that we miss what is right in front of us. During the pandemic, 2.5 million people in the UK accessed church. People who had never accessed church before, people who would never come into church. And our hope for the church family to increase did happen. It just wasn't how we thought it was going to be. That day, when I finished my walk with that lady, I got into my car and I just sat. And I had to ask myself, and I do it every time I recall this story, if I just walked around the streets of Biker with a woman dressed as a unicorn onesie, was having the privilege of listening to her story, but then also having the privilege of telling her my story with Jesus. My one for the road didn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. It was better than I could have ever hoped or imagined. And it's a story that encourages me. And the lady, she came to visit us at our organisation the following day. And she said, "This Jesus, I want to know him." This lady now has a job that she loves, and she also has the opportunity to share Jesus, her journey with Jesus. And she readily tells her journey with Jesus with real enthusiasm and gusto. Such a privilege to be part of somebody else's journey in that way, but I would have missed it. It wasn't what I was looking for. And our understanding of life enables us to be filled with hope for what was to come in that year of 2020. But now in 2026, having lived through the pandemic, we have a different perspective. We have a different understanding. We have different priorities, different knowledge, and a different way of doing things. And this is the same for us as followers of Jesus. We have a different way of viewing and understanding hope. Because without the resurrection story, it tells one story. But with the resurrection, it tells something completely different. This changes not just the way that we read the story, but it should change the way in which we view and read new stories. How do we read the New Testament in light of the old, which was viewed back then? They didn't recognize Jesus because they didn't recognize the story. And as I've reflected on this, I just wonder, will we recognize the story of Jesus with us now? Or will we miss it? Because what is right in front of us doesn't look like what we think it should. We live in hope for what is to come through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it should give us hope that our story does not end here with our death or the death of those that we love. But whilst journeying with Jesus, we get to see more of the story. Indeed, we hope for more of the story. We as followers of Jesus today can no doubt see similarities as world events take place on a very public stage that we are all privy to. And I don't know about you, but with every bleep of a news flash, I can't believe what comes next. I can't believe the unfolding of the story. And we may even find ourselves in a mood or position that reflects the same as those disciples, one of hopelessness. We can't believe that this is happening. We can't believe that this continues to be the story. And we hear the words echoed again, we had hoped. These words and thoughts over 2,000 years on, and it seems that very little has changed. But yet we continue to have hope because the resurrection changes the story. It changes our story now, and it changes the story of what is to come. What had you hoped for? What within your lifetime have you hoped for? Something which you thought would happen in a particular way, at a particular time, with a particular outcome. Where upon your journey with Jesus have you spoken the words, we had hoped? And how did that story unfold? I just wonder if anybody else has had a privilege to walk with somebody around Biker. And what do you hope for now? Do you hope in a different way because of what you've experienced in the past? Do you hope with patience and with the trust in the Lord, just as those scriptures we read earlier? Do you hope that things will change for the better? Do you hope for reprieve, a freedom in God? Through this passage and time with these disciples, we can shift our eyes and hearts so that we can see Jesus, who is right with us in the desolate place. And that is hope. When we hope for something in a very particular and mapped out way as our own scenario and our own vision, our hope can be restricted because we're held back by our past, our own understanding of something, and that the limitedness of our humanness. But when we hope and we view that hope through the lens of the resurrection, it changes everything. And sometimes it can be helpful as we reflect to think of that word in the different ways, to think of it as trust, as waiting. As a world, we hope that we will get to witness the end of conflict. We hope to the end of that there will be an end to suffering. And we don't know how the different conflicts around the world will end, but we hope that God will put an end to them. And every day we hope. We trust in God. We trust in God. If the conflict continues today, tomorrow, until our very last breath, our hope is to trust and wait. Trust and wait, just as Jesus did on the cross. Hope, trust, and wait. Even when it feels uncertain, He is certain. Hope, trust, and wait that even when we don't understand, God understands all, beginning and end. Hope, trust, and wait that even when nothing makes sense, God is a God of order. God is a sovereign God, and He holds it all. Hope, trust, and wait when things are unfair and unjust. Our God is a righteous and just God. When the disciples recognized Jesus, they recognized that their hearts had been burning within. And again, it's a retrospect that the disciples understand what was going on. And it is only after a time with Jesus telling them about Himself through the old scriptures, a time of discipling, a time of fellowship and breaking of bread, that they see what is right before them. And that's a lesson for us as a whole body. These disciples had already walked with Jesus. They knew who He was before His death. They knew what He looked like. They knew what He walked like. They knew what He sounded like. And yet when He returned and was with them, they failed to see what was right before them. We need to walk together. Those who have walked with Jesus for a long time and those who have walked with Jesus for only a short time. We need each other so that we can learn and we can grow, to ask questions, to be questioned, to help us to see and perhaps see things that we hadn't seen before. Study, fellowship, discipling, and communion. And I'm so thankful that I'm here to take communion with you guys this morning, walking the journey and building our story together with Jesus in our midst. This learning and growing with one another, it brings encouragement and it helps us to hope. I loved hearing your testimony this morning, your story this morning. And it's important that we hear these stories because they bring us encouragement. They help us to share our journeys together and where we're at. Every time we hear somebody's story with Jesus, it brings us hope because our family is growing and we are a family. It's the kingdom of God. One for the road. Everyone matters. It is part of our journey together. And even Cleopas, he has a companion who remains nameless and yet walks with and sees Jesus. Everyone is included. Our journeys help to knit us together. I was at a Baptist chaplain's conference the other day, and Lynn Green spoke to us, and she spoke from a book that she was reading, and she used the phrase, eyes of hope. And I think that's beautiful, that we should be people who have eyes of hope. And it is good and it is right that we do. Indeed, that is the message of Jesus, the one of hope, that there will be a time where there is an end to conflict, suffering, and pain. But in our eyes of hope, we should not try to rush to the end of the story. Just because we're in a privileged position to know the end of the story, we don't know what the journey looks like. The one who does know how the story unfolds, the one who knows our own story and the world's story, he's the one that we need to take time to walk with. Being present, soaking in what is going on around us, because there is hope, and we should hope, because hope is to trust in the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, and to love the Lord. We can have confidence to have hope because of Good Friday. But but we can have continued hope in every situation if our hope and trust is in God. Let's not mistake hope. Let us not rush the story and miss what is right before us, the joys that is right before us. Let us not miss the journey. It's the most important part, walking with one another and walking with Jesus. Let's not miss this because our hearts and minds are hindered by the past and it stops us from seeing. Let's be people who have eyes of hope, seeing what is present, what is right before us. Without the resurrection story, it tells one. But with the resurrection story, it tells a different thing entirely. What is our hope for the journey through the eyes of the resurrection? It might not look like what we thought it looked like. This journey might not go how we hope or think it should. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Let me just pray for us. Father God, we thank you for the hope that you give us for what is to come. Help us not to rush to the end, Lord. Help us to be present. Help us to not miss what is right before us. Help us to see all the places that you are now, all the places that you are walking with us, all the places that you reside. Help us on our journey together. Help us to encourage one another, to keep on telling the stories, and to keep on being with people with eyes of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.